In the name of the risen Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. So, when I was a little boy, 5, 6, 7, and after Sunday dinner, my 10-year-old sister used to lead us into the living room. And when my Uncle Michael was there, he was a great storyteller. And it was there that I learned and I listened to stories about a very gentle giant who used to live in Ireland by the name of Finn McCool. Any of you know Finn McCool's story? Just raise your hand. None. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, well, I'll spare you the details, but Finn was kind of the quintessential. He was a gentle giant, and all the other giants that lived in Ireland at the time were much more, they were much more powerful, and so Finn had to kind of solve his conflicts with wit and get out of these terrible binds by being just a little smarter. He was a little trickier than the other ones, and so he lived by dint of his wit and pluck. It was kind of a very Irish kind of flavor to it. And when my Uncle Mike was done, we said, "Tell us another one, tell us another one." And he would say, "Oh, no, there's another story for another day. And you kids have to get ready for bed. And I want to talk to your parents. So off you go." And that's the way it would pretty much go on every Sunday. There'd only be one story, and then there'd be a story for another day. I think a lot of that same energy went into the writing of the gospel we just heard about Jesus meeting the disciples after the resurrection at the Lake of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. It's another name for it. But, you know, think about the gospel we heard last week. It seemed like it was a perfect ending, because there the disciples were in the upper room. They're all closed up. They're scared. Jesus comes through the wall. He breathes the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now go out. Don't be afraid anymore. They're right in Jerusalem. It's time for Pentecost. It's out to the streets. And then this week they're fishing in the Lake of Galilee, like last week never happened. I think the church, the early church, never tired about stories about the risen Christ to assure the people that Jesus indeed has risen. And so, in the spirit of the same spirit, kind of drove us as little kids. Tell us another story. We don't want to be done now. Tell us another one. Okay. So that's kind of the explanation. And it was almost as if the gospel writer said, wait a minute. We didn't resolve about those Peter denials of Jesus. How did Peter ever get back? How did Peter go from denier, "I don't even know this man," to leader and faithful disciple? Didn't resolve that. So we need another story at the end of John to kind of explain that and bring all the threads together. Because after all, Jesus said in John's gospel, "I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep." Peter, in this gospel, he says, "Tend my sheep, feed my lambs, follow me, be the good shepherd." And what happens to Peter is that he does glorify God by laying his life down. Okay? So it's a pretty good story to tack on. Even though the gospel was supposed to end last week, we learn an important lesson. That the gospel can never be complete. There's always another story that needs to be told. In our country, am I doing that? I don't know. If someone else is, please stop. In our country, you know, we hear this discourse and dialogue, and a lot of it is about divisions and separations. The more I listen to it, I think our country needs a change of name. Instead of the United States of America, it should be just like the States of America. What's united about us? We're divided by race. We're divided by income. We're divided by all kinds of things. And the story, the good news is that the story that needs to be told is the story of how we become reconciled. Is the story of how we come together. We who are so different. We who are so many. And our part in that is when we encounter divisive and hate-filled discourse and dialogue and speech, we can say, ah, there's a better story to be told than that, isn't it? And I think the risen Lord calls us forward into making that statement of witness. Each and every time that we hear polarized and hateful speech, no matter what the source of it is, that's a good story. But it needs yet to be written. There's another story out there, and it needs to be told. I think that's the microphone agreeing with me.